Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, to everybody's favourite topic of conversation, sometimes everybody's only topic of conversation. Sunny spells and scattered showers, unsettled, clear bright day, chance of storms. It is the topic that we are known for talking about and for complaining about an awful lot. So how does Met Éireann actually forecast the weather? And is it becoming more accurate with modern technology or less accurate with a changing climate? We're joined now by two of the people who deal with this every day at Met Éireann, Dr. Alan Halley, Forecasting Services Manager. Good morning to you. Morning. And Dr. Ronan Darcy, Research Meteorologist as well. Thank you both for joining us. Alan, let's start at the very beginning. There's thousands and thousands of pieces of data that go into making a forecast. Where do they all come from?
So a forecast starts with an observation. We can't do anything until we have an idea of what the weather is like at any given moment. So in order to do that, we take literally millions of data points from ground sources, from ships, weather balloons. People would be aware of those from our Valentia Observatory in County Kerry, from aircraft. So all of the aircraft that fly in and out of Irish space, they send information to us that then we use to get an idea of that initial picture. So once we have that initial picture then from these observational data sources, we feed that into our computer model. So the computer model...
How many individual pieces of data might that be?
It's on the order of millions every day that are used.
Wow, because we know that there's a handful of synoptic stations around the country. How many is it?
There are 25 synoptic stations, so 20 of those are automatic and 5 of those are manned at the airports, Knock, Dublin, Cork, Shannon.
But from what you're saying, that is very much the smaller part of the data gathering exercise.
There is a lot that comes from satellite information, and that's only going to become more and more important. So just this year, actually, the European Meteorological Satellite Agency, which Ireland is a member state of, launched their third generation of satellites. And that's going to give us even more pictures and more enhanced information.
Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you there. You have assembled these millions of data points. What do you do with them then?
So then we feed them into our computer model. So our computer model at its core is really a set of mathematical equations. And kind of an interesting Irish side note here, those equations were partly developed by a great Irish scientist, in my opinion, one of the greatest, George Gabriel Stokes from County Sligo. And then with that, with those equations, rather, you solve them a little bit each time into the future. And then when you stop solving, you get an idea of what the wind will be like, what the rainfall will be like, the humidity, etc. And that whole process then is what we call numerical weather prediction. And it feeds every single weather source that people will come across on weather apps, websites, television, the newspapers. And as you can imagine, it's quite a data hungry process. So we do this many times per day. And just over the course of one day, we actually produce 10 terabytes of data. And to put that in context, it's probably the equivalent of watching a high definition video on Netflix back to back for 3 weeks. So we do that every single day.
That is enormous.
So it is quite a lot of data to process.
Ronan, even with all of that data, there are some things that forecasting is better at than others. What are your strong points? What are your weak points?
Yes, good morning, Philip. So I suppose when it comes to forecasting weather, as you mentioned, the reliability of the forecast, it does indeed depend on the type of weather that we are forecasting. So, for example, when we talk about the quality of our model, usually we're referring to verification scores. And these are published and kept up to date on our website. And specifically, we're talking about headline scores. And the publication of these is mandated by the World Meteorological Organization. And in Met Éireann's case, we use the temperature headline scores. And these are calculated in a similar way among Met services around the world, which allows for a direct, fair comparison of model skill. But of course, it's worth mentioning that headline score is only one statistic attempting to convey the quality of a very complex underlying weather model. But nonetheless, these scores do feed into improving the model to provide the best forecast for our users.
Okay, so does that mean that we're good at temperature?
Well,
we're much more accurate on that than we are on the other bits of weather?
Well, I suppose it's because it's such a complex process. I think that the type of weather being predicted. So, for example, something like a windstorm, which is a few hundred kilometers across, lasts for a few days. That's much more predictable for our model than something small like a thunderstorm that develops rapidly, yeah, that only lasts for a few hours. So when it comes to the type of weather, I think that the model is more skilled at forecasting large systems that last for longer periods of time rather than small systems that develop quickly.
Because when you think about it, it must be incredibly hard to predict when we have a big, massive, sodden, moisture-laden cloud system moving north-northwest across the country. At exactly what point and at what time in its passage over the country is it going to empty its load down onto the land? That must be incredibly hard to predict.
Absolutely, yes. So there's a lot that goes into to calculating the probability of that happening. And Alan ran through exactly how the model solves those equations using all of the millions of observation points that we feed it. And these observations are crucial to giving the model the best first guess in order to be able to forecast accurately into the future. And we have to ensure that we're giving it the best data to begin with so that we get the best, okay, best data out of it.
And when you go back and you look in hindsight at those thunderstorms as opposed to big storm weather systems, how accurate are you?
So when it comes to determining the reliability of the forecast for things like thunderstorms, we would use these verification scores that I mentioned. And for example, we have a network of about 500 rainfall stations around the country, which mm-hmm. are chiefly run by volunteers, for which we're very appreciative. And usually what happens is the statistics for these rainfall stations are recorded on card and they're sent into MedAireann each month. When we get those, then we quality control them. And we compared them to what the model would have forecast at the time to generate verification statistics. And then depending on those feed back into the development process in order to tune the model further to make our forecasts more skillful, again, to give the end users.
And how good are they?
I suppose in terms of the statistics themselves, they would compare quite favourably. Certainly with global models, we know that high-resolution models like the one we run, which is called Harmony, they perform much better for these small-scale systems like thunderstorms, okay, which is why we run these.
But how often are you getting that right? I mean, is it 4 times in 5? Is it 3 times in 5 you're getting it right?
Well, for the, I suppose for the verification scores that we publish, typically we'd see we'd see those in the 85% to 90%
Wow,
region,
okay,
which is
pretty high.
Pretty high pretty when you consider high. The complexity of the task at hand.
How much better is weather forecasting now than 30 years ago, Alan? I mean, how much more accurate is the 3-day forecast?
Yeah, so there's a very nice statistic that sums that up. So a 7-day forecast today is as skillful as a 3-day forecast was in the 1980s. So if you break that down...
Okay, that doesn't sound that impressive if 1980s forecasting wasn't that good, though.
Yeah, if you break that down, it's kind of increasing the forecast length by about a day per decade. And again, I suppose a bit like Ronan just said, when you consider the complexity of the task, I mean, the goal is to forecast the position and the time of arrival of every single air parcel on Earth. So to me, it kind of underlines that weather forecasting in general is one of the great achievements of modern science. Mm, mm. So when you think about that and all of those complexities, then advancing by about a day, a decade is quite remarkable.
And when you do the verification process on the 7-day forecasts now, because there'd be many of us who would be quite suspicious about them, how accurate are they?
So again, those would be in the 85 to 90% range. And again, as Rona has already said, it will depend on the feature in question. So the large scale features, the wind storms, etc., they would have a higher accuracy than something like thunderstorms. So thunderstorms are typically only predictable about maybe 18 to 24 hours in advance.
Because though we are a nation of meteorologists and we all know just as well, if not better than you guys, and because we get angry when the thunderstorm arrives at 12 o'clock rather than at 1 o'clock, as you've told us, and we've left our washing hanging out on the line, do you get many complaints?
We certainly get a lot of feedback. A lot of the feedback we would get would be focused on our app and our website, which we're very, very proud of. It is the number one downloaded app on Google Play and on the Apple Store. It's viewed 300,000 times a day. And if we have high impact weather events, it's in the order of millions of page views.
Really?
So the feedback we generally get is about improving things, improving how we display things on the website. So,
but not the actual forecasting itself.
Well, often the improvements in the display can lead to better decision making because the underlying data, as we've discussed, is solid. So often it's okay. kind of improvements in the display that can lead to kind of better end user decisions then for their weather related decision making.
One of the features of the climate crisis, Ronan, is that it is making weather less predictable. How is that impacting on your job?
In terms of the climate crisis, we do know that it will make some aspects more predictable. For example, the diurnal temperature range, which is, I suppose, the minimum to the maximum temperature over a 24-hour period. This range will get smaller, which in theory should make it more predictable. But some studies, for example, one from the Stockholm University, suggested that heavy rainfall will become less predictable. As the atmosphere warms up, it can hold more moisture, and therefore more moisture can fall in the form of intense rain. And we know that the intensity and the frequency of windstorms could increase, and work is ongoing to investigate how that might impact the predictability in terms of forecasting using one of our weather models. And like any of these weather features, as I mentioned, something that develops rapidly is more difficult to predict for the model. So hurricanes, if they have more energy, there's more rapid changes to the strength mm-hmm. of them. This would probably prove more difficult for weather forecast models to get a hold okay. of.
So obviously it is becoming more of a challenge then.
Absolutely.
Alan, we know from your annual report that rainfall in this country has increased by, I think it's 80% over the course of the last 30 years or more. Has the nature of that rain changed in that period of time from soft, misty rain to more of those intense downpours?
Yeah, so the climate averages, as we refer them to, were published in July. So the increase kind of on average annually across the country was 7%. So as the climate warms, the projections would say that we are likely to get more intense precipitation events, more intense rainfall events. We just had our wettest July on record. This kind of trend is in all of the climate projections that we're part of. We also republished a report in June, which is we refer to as the Translate report. And this is kind of standardized, specialized climate projections for Ireland. And within that as well, again, depending on the degree of warming that the atmosphere will have, we will see more rainfall in the wintertime. Yeah. But perhaps if we get to 2-degree warming, we could see drier summers. And then if you go up in the warming, it becomes different as well.
The next step, Ronan, the next level is a greater degree of international cooperation in forecasting.
Absolutely, yes. And Ireland has actually joined forces with Denmark, Iceland and the Netherlands to form a consortium called United Weather Centres West. And the goal of this collaboration is to run one joint weather model over all of our countries rather than each country running models individually. So this will improve efficiencies as our weather model domains overlap quite a bit to begin with since we're all so close together geographically. And it means that we can devote more computational resources to things like increasing the number of ensemble members, which is a very important feature of our forecast system. That will better capture the uncertainty in the state of the atmosphere and ultimately improve the services that we deliver. It also effectively quadruples the expertise available to us as model developers, since we will all be working towards the same goal in each of our four countries.
Alan, can AI step in and fill in any of the blanks created by the uncertainty that climate crisis has brought?
Yeah, so we're very excited about the possibilities of that AI can give or help us to enhance our services to our end users. So we actually make use of it a little bit already in our forecasting chain. So we've touched on our millions of data points that we have to sift through to get the initial picture at the beginning of our forecast chain. So AI or machine learning algorithms are very good at speeding that process up so we can sort out which ones are most important and which ones we feed into the model. Then at the end of the chain, you know, we also have to get that information onto the website and onto the app in quite a timely manner. And again, machine learning algorithms are very good at helping us speed up those processes and making them more time efficient. And actually within the forecasting chain, so the model needs to know about every grain of sand, every bog, every tree, all the varieties of the Irish landscape. And to get an idea of those, we use satellite imagery. And you can imagine thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of satellite images And again, machine learning is very good at that kind of image classification task. So we're using machine learning to help us get a better description of the bogs and the sand, mm-hmm. etc., which then improves the forecast further down the line.
Dr. Alan Halley and Dr. Ronan Darcy, thank you both very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.